You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, July 14th, 2010. This is episode 140, Wells Tech Road Trip, Birmingham, Alabama. We're back with another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is one of your hosts, Martin Spriggs, and I'm joined as usual by Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Coming to you from beautiful Mississippi today.
Yeah, and very close to our final destination of the day, which is Birmingham, Alabama.
That's right. Funny thing, though, you interviewed Pastor Kratz from Birmingham up there in Wisconsin while I'm down here in Mississippi.
Right.
I'm doing the road trip part this week. Yeah. And I have a funny story to share with you. I don't know if you've seen these or not, but I took my boys on an airplane trip for the first time in their lives. And one of the most amusing things we saw in the airport was a Best Buy vending machine. Uh-huh. Have you seen these gigantic vending machines?
Yeah, I have.
And they have every kind of
electronic gadget,
iPods, video games. They've got it all. So I took some pictures. I'm going to throw a picture up in the show notes of this amazing Best Buy vending machine. I can't imagine that you can buy that kind of stuff with your credit card in the airport.
So. Oh, for sure. Was that in Minneapolis?
It was before mm-hmm. we left. Minneapolis Airport has kind of like a mall inside of it, so mm-hmm. we had to check out all the stores. We were there plenty early and
sure.
had fun riding the conveyor belt sidewalks, you know. Lots of excitement for little boys, let me tell you.
Okay, cool. So where do you fly into? Is there an airport in Mississippi?
There is, Martin. My goodness. We fly into Jackson, although I've flown into Baton Rouge before as well. About 2 hours away from Jackson and Baton Rouge, right in the middle of those.
I was going to ask if Baton Rouge was close, so... All right. Well, we had the chance to talk with Pastor Ben Kratz from Birmingham, Alabama, down in that section of the world, just the next state over. And we had a chance to talk about his use of Skype for ministry. Sally, you and I are very familiar with Skype, huh?
That's right. And I'd say it's been a real friend to us. We've only had a few challenges along the way, but mm-hmm. a very powerful tool for long-distance communication, and the price is right.
Skype has really, I think, figured this thing out where the call quality is, I think, better than the traditional landline. It doesn't seem that it's really demanding on the bandwidth, although you know, usually I'm on a high bandwidth connection, but I don't think we've ever had any real call quality issues. You've had a couple bumps in Sleepy Eye, but the call quality here seems awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And usually when we're able to connect with our interviewees via Skype, that's a better quality interview mm-hmm. than connecting via landline.
So. Yeah, with Skype you can call out via a Skype out subscription, which allows
paid
you
for.
To call. You pay, it's like 2 cents a minute or even less, I think, which is actually a very good deal. So if you're looking to replace the landline with Skype, that's definitely a possibility. There are some other considerations with 911 calls and those kinds of things. But a lot of people really use Skype to make long-distance calls, international calls, calling the kids at college, calling overseas, wherever. And Skype video actually works pretty well, although we don't use it on the podcast. I know a number of people who do, and Ben Kratz, our interviewee today, actually uses video. And one of the new features coming out, I think very soon, is multiple videos. You can run multiple video windows, which will open this up to more video conferencing applications. So let's listen to our interview with Ben, conducted at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, regarding his use in his ministry of reaching out with Skype. Joining us today is Pastor Ben
Kratz from Birmingham, Alabama at Our Savior. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Barton. How are you?
Good. We are actually sitting in room 11 at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. Ben is taking a productivity course, and we just finished up day three. But that's not really why we're going to talk, Ben. We thought it would be a good opportunity to talk to you a little bit about your use of technology, and specifically a technology that a lot of our listeners are familiar with, and that's Skype, right?
Yep.
So tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself, your church, how you, what you're doing there, how long you've served there, et cetera. Give us kind of the Reader's Digest version of Ben Kratz.
Graduated from the seminary in 2003 and was assigned to Our Savior in Birmingham. And so I've been there about 7 years or so, and have a family, wife Emily, and five kids, and probably a typical kind of congregation in an outlying district. So small, more of when I first got here, more of a regional church,
right,
for Wells members, and have been working on trying to obviously share the gospel with a community and make it more of a community church rather than a regional one.
Mm-hmm. Where you grew up in the Midwest, right?
I did.
So was it, were there some adjustment getting used to the South?
Other than the heat and humidity,
well, you get a little bit of that here, but you get a bit more of it there.
Yeah, just a different culture. Mm-hmm. Things tend to go a little slower there, which is nice. I've also found, and I don't remember where I read it, but just that they tend to be about a generation behind, and so are dealing with people that are perhaps a bit more biblically literate than. Mm-hmm. Than the Midwest. At the same time, you look at it and you say the same challenges,
right?
You know, that you have here.
Makes sense. So let's talk a little bit about some of the technologies and your use of them. How long have you been using Skype?
Probably 6 or 7 years. I think the first time we started using it actually was with my parents, mm-hmm. so they could keep in contact and see the grandkids and talk with the grandkids and stuff like that. So
right, and you had a particular use case in mind when you looked at the Skype technology as solving a particular challenge or problem you were having.
Yeah, I think that the first time I actually used it ministry-wise had a prospect who was in Montgomery, Alabama, which is about 100 miles away from Birmingham, and so I was trying to figure out the best way to go through a Bible information class with him, at the same time recognizing, you know, an hour and a half drive both ways once a week is a lot of time to be spent just driving. And so one of the things we discussed and ended up using was using Skype with a webcam to go through the Bible information class. And the more you think about it, especially with not only prospects but with members being farther away, can certainly be something, you know, people can look at to use.
Right.
There's some challenges that go along with that too.
But. Yeah. Well, what were some of those challenges?
You're not talking to them face to face,
right?
I mean, you're basically looking at a computer screen, which,
right,
solves the problem of, you know, you have an extra 3 hours in a day. At the same time, there's something to be said for being able to sit down with someone and open scripture with them and talk to them about it.
Right, right. So, how did you approach, you know, these groups? Did they bring it up? Did you look at it as an opportunity to try it? Did you say, well, let's, you know, maybe there's a way around this using technology?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it worked. He was a gentleman from Montgomery and had visited church a couple times and actually had been in contact with the seminary about some things. And so we kind of had a basis of we need to do something and not quite sure the best way to go about it.
Right.
And didn't see, neither of us saw traveling an hour and a half once a week as something viable,
sure,
just schedule-wise for either of us.
Right.
And so saying that wasn't an option, what other options do we have?
Mm-hmm.
And Skype sort of just fell in our laps.
Yeah, so you were kind of familiar with Skype before you started. Were they?
I don't think so. Okay. And it wasn't, if I remember right, ended up just going to his house one day, and he had some other computer problems that I helped him with, and then just said, well, I'll throw Skype on there if you can buy a... We ended up using a headset, he had a webcam already, and so just set that all up, and mm-hmm. a week later we tried it, and it worked.
And you got broadband on both ends. So
correct.
It's pretty seamless, and the stream is
we never
pretty
had
consistent.
Yep, never had a problem with anything like that. And I think the first time I used that was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I think then there was a problem. Just, I mean, you'd almost have to use a headset.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, just recently using it, they may have fixed that a little bit, where there you don't necessarily have to use a headset, and there won't be bad echoes on both sides.
Right, the duplexing is not a problem. Right.
So we haven't had as big of a problem with mm-hmm. that recently.
Right. Do you use the shared desktop function, or do you send the materials ahead of time? How do you work through the material?
All my stuff is in Word documents, okay. And so I'll email them a document, or if we go use the Bivens Valesky stuff, I just give them the book,
right,
and say we'll obviously go through the next lesson, and so they can prepare ahead of time if they want.
Okay.
But they'll just have stuff in front of them.
Okay. Do you think it's inhibited discussion at all, or it's really one-on-one, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much one-on-one, and that's one of the weaknesses of Skype right now, is just not having the ability to do it with more than one person.
Right. That's coming out, though, I understand.
Yeah.
There's a group video feature.
And I'm kind of intrigued with that, because I have... It's worked out that I actually have groups of members that are farther away,
uh-huh.
and so being able to say, if we can get one group together, or, Monday night will be Montgomery night,
right?
Where I'm going to do a Bible class
right.
over Skype with these people,
right?
Other than that, it's just been one on one,
right? Okay. So it sounds like you've got some future plans for it.
Yeah, and I think there's, like I said, I mean, there are some hindrances to it, and I think some of those you might be able to overcome by just simply saying, let's get together once a month at least,
right?
Let's have dinner. And then do it. So it's, they have a little bit of fellowship there too.
Right.
And you're able to sit down and, if there is something they didn't feel comfortable talking about to their computer screen with,
right.
Then they can talk to you about those things face to face.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, I would definitely say, I think there's some neat things you can do, especially if you have members that are some ways away, that you can continue to serve them and minister to them with the gospel.
Right. And certainly these are people that you had a relationship with, an analog relationship, before you had the digital relationship.
Correct.
So you kind of got to see them face to face and look them in the eye and have that at least comfort level.
Yep.
With that.
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of assurance there too.
Right.
Just to being able to say, this isn't going to be something weird.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Does it take longer? Are there any other hindrances to going digital?
I didn't have any real problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as class length, I mean, I suppose there is a little bit of, hope they're going to be there.
Right.
But I think that can, right. I mean, today with everybody having cell phones, it's very easy just to say,
right.
If all of a sudden, you're waiting for them, just, are we still on for today or tonight?
Right.
Which is definitely better than driving an hour and right. thinking, I should maybe call just to make sure we're all okay, and then finding out they can't do it and having to drive all the way back.
Yeah. Well, certainly with the one-to-one nature of this setup, then, it's a little bit more comfortable probably in a group, because you're not always on stage and on the spot.
Yeah.
So there's probably that factor as well. Any other technology that you have your eye on that might be useful for ministry as you look into the future?
Well, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's class to find out what, because we're going to be talking about technology
that's
tomorrow.
Right, to make you more productive. Yeah, that's a pretty high bar to set. But yeah, I think there's always things coming across our lives and our emails that potential ministry uses. The challenge is always going to be, what is its use? Does it have use? Right. Okay. Great. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it and enjoyed having you in class, and hopefully you're getting something out of it. But, boy, blessings on your work using this distance technology. It's the Lord has placed some incredible tools in our hands, and it's really up to us to use them effectively. Thanks.
Thanks, Martin.
Sorry for the background noise there to everybody. It was sitting in, room 11, and we had just finished up class up there. He was taking a class that I was offering at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary on productivity, and I just grabbed him after class one day to do this interview, and really very generous of him to give his time like that, too.
I really enjoyed his comments, Martin, about keeping the face-to-face connections
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And taking a class this summer about online learning, and you can do a lot via the use of technology, but in terms of church fellowship and actually sharing God's word together, you can't beat the face-to-face connection. So it's neat that he keeps that as part of his efforts as well.
Yeah, I applaud what he's doing there. Seems like a natural, especially for congregations in more spread out geographic locations where it's almost impossible to try and get people together or expect them to drive an hour and a half, you know, on any regular basis, where this can accomplish much of the same thing and with greater frequency.
Yep. And again, the price is right.
Right.
If you use the conferencing one-to-one via Skype, the price is free, which you can't beat that.
Yep. And speaking of free, we have two picks of the week that are totally free. One is something that you're just trying out there in the Draper household regarding internet TV.
That's right. Just a little bit of a geeky do-it-yourself kind of project going on this summer at my house.
That's a surprise.
Like
another geeky project. Yes.
Yeah. Decided to move some furniture around in our basement, redo our big screen TV in the location and all the wiring and just some reconfiguration there. And in the process, dug up an old computer, installed Linux on it, and then installed this software, which is my pick. It's called XBMC, which I guess the roots of this software go back to Xbox. It's XBMC for
that's what's running
Xbox
on there, right?
Media Center. And it basically turned this Linux machine into a media PC and allows us to stream via the internet media from all different video sources. And it also will recognize all of your existing media library and allow you to play that on your television as well. Now, XBMC works on Linux as we are using it, but it also is cross-platform,
yep.
So you can use it Windows, Apple, Apple TV, or you can actually run it from a USB drive even. So lots of options there. It comes with its own menu system. Works with our remote control.
Does it? Cool.
Yeah. So just a really robust product to get us started on the streaming end with our television. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, these have been around, as you mentioned, for a little while. One that I've tried, I've only played with this a little bit. I've used Boxy more extensively, which is a similar concept, kind of the lean-back control of your computer, but then aggregating content of different types and being able to kind of make sense of all the online content that's out there and do some indexing. And very cool. Very cool. Let us know how that goes. How do the boys like it?
I think they like it because CBS.com has all the ancient Star Trek episodes. So that's the true test. We have to watch Star Trek on the big screen.
And yeah.
They were way excited.
We were cool just, we have Netflix and we have the Roku player, which is allows you to play the Netflix streaming stuff on your TV. Works really well. And one show that we just started watching last night, which I've heard a lot about, is Doctor Who. Have you ever seen those episodes?
No.
That's quite a history. It's put out by the BBC. But I was doing a little bit of research on it last night on Wikipedia, and it is the longest. It holds the Guinness World Record for the longest running series. It has been running. I think they started back in the 60s and went through the mid 80s, and they had kind of about a 10-year hiatus. Now they picked it up in 90s, I think, and then in 2005 they started a whole new series, and it's been running ever since. So, I don't know, 700-800-ish episodes, something like that. Just incredible. It's a little quirky. I haven't formulated an opinion yet. It's British humor, so I've got to get used to that and following the dialogue. But I'm going to give it a try. There's just a ton of stuff, a ton of episodes out there to watch. So we'll see.
And that's through Netflix that you got access to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Netflix has. I don't know if they have all the episodes, but they definitely have it from the start from the restart of the series. So all through
Very
BBC.
Cool.
But interesting. So it kind of ties in with your XBMC, which you could probably find those episodes elsewhere too.
Sure.
My pick is a pick similar to something we talked about before called VirtualBox. This pick is actually by VMware, which is another virtualization software. Virtualization is really gaining a lot of momentum in the technology world. And in fact, some of the large deployments we're doing here at the Synod Administration Building with our Connect program, we're all going to be running in virtual machines. So that allows you to run multiple operating systems on one host system. Saves a lot of money on hardware and actually is very easy to back up and manage. But this is a free product from VMware called VMware Player, which has been around for a while. Very similar to VirtualBox, very similar to Parallels, very similar to the virtual PC that comes along with Windows 7. And you can load any kind of operating system on it that you want. I have two running right now, Ubuntu and the Chrome OS. So it's a great way to try out different operating systems, run a test environment if you're working with a lab, a computer lab that you want to run virtually. You could do that. You could also try out different applications on different platforms. So you don't always have to have the exact same computer setup or hardware setup that you would have on other computers. I believe it's faster than VirtualBox and very easy to set up installations of Windows XP or Vista or Windows 7 or Chrome OS, like I mentioned, Ubuntu, Linux, all of those can be running on the same machine. Just pull up the one you want and install the software as you normally would. So that's VMware Player.
Well, you said something that piqued my interest, Martin, and that's using it in your lab setting.
Right.
And I think that would be a really interesting way to expose the kids to other operating systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have that set up and allow them to spend a semester in an Ubuntu environment or something like that.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Give them some exposure because they may run across this, you know, as they get into their professional lives.
So, good stuff.
All right. Community feedback.
Well,
I'm up first.
That's right. We heard from this guy named Martin.
Yeah, I found one thing that we've talked about in the past is YouVersion, which is a online Bible. They have a website. I think is it YouVersion? Yeah, YouVersion.com, put up by LifeChurch.tv. And where I really use it, though, is not online or not on the website, but on my mobile phone. In fact, just last night I used it. We were in, we have what we call life group meetings. These are small group ministry meetings. And we had a meeting last night at one of our members' homes. And I had actually, normally we bring our hard copy Bible. Well, we'd forgotten. We were kind of in a rush to get out the door, and we didn't bring it. But we had, I had my smartphone, my Android phone with YouVersion installed on it. I loaded it up, and within 15 seconds, I was at the verse that we were reading, and continued to use it throughout the course of the evening for Bible reading. They have all kinds of things related to it, but the reason they're in the news is that they are celebrating 2 billion minutes with the Bible. The article says, you and millions of other YouVersion users around the world have spent more than 2 billion minutes with the Bible using YouVersion. That's 38 centuries or 33 million hours in God's Word. More time engaging in Scripture. That's why YouVersion is here, and you continue to break new ground doing just that. Way to go. And then they were also talking about some addition of some reading plans, which is nice too. So if you're kind of a mobile person, this is a great way to kind of keep up with your Bible reading. They've got all kinds of reading plans that you can use depending on how much time that you have. You can go with a 10-minute plan or a 30-minute plan, or read the New Testament in a month, or read through the Psalms, whatever. I found this to be just a great tool, and my preferred online Bible is YouVersion. They've got a nice interface. You can add notes, share notes, that kind of thing. Might not be a bad thing for a Bible study group to use together, where they could collaborate and share share notes.
That's really exciting to hear, Martin. And you know, just any way that God's word can be in people's hands. And obviously, you know, the future is in these mobile devices. So it's really exciting that they've got such a great interface and ability to annotate and all of that mm-hmm. built into it.
And you can get whatever translation you would like as mm-hmm. well, which is kind of nice. So
good stuff.
The only downside is you can't download. So if you're not on, if you're not connected, if you don't have a Wi-Fi connection or a 3G connection, then you're kind of stuck because I don't think you can download the NIV because of copyright. So
right.
That's one downside.
So all our congregations need to have free Wi-Fi available
for their
members.
That would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm. As we do at St. John's and Sleepy Eye. Mm-hmm. So.
I can see this as a great application on the iPad. I don't own an iPad. But I would think its form factor would be ideal for reading the Bible.
Speaking of iPads, Martin, that reminds me, we're going to go off the script here, but one of my Facebook friends is teacher Chris Hintz, who's out in the Phoenix, Arizona area, and he actually won an iPad this week. He was in a contest on a website, I'll have to find the link for the show notes, where he told how .coms have affected him, and he wrote a little short essay about how it's improved his teaching. Mm-hmm. And given him connections to his own personal learning network and how he uses it in the classroom. And then you would go and vote on your favorite stories of how the .com has affected. And he actually won this week and won an iPad. So I was so excited. You hear about these contests. But here's one of our own teachers who won an iPad. So congratulations, Chris, for your win in that contest.
And we'll be interested to see if there's any ministry applications that you find useful on the iPad. That's cool.
There you go. That's right. Speaking of teachers, we heard from our tweeting teacher, Jason Schmidt, who's at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, and he sent us a couple of great links this week. The first one is to a multimedia CD-ROM collection that's available from Northwestern Publishing House. It's called New Testament Pictures for Multimedia CD-ROM, and there are 75 illustrations that are ideal for web page graphics, PowerPoint presentations, classroom aids, and thumbnail printing. They are in low-resolution 72 DPI JPEG format, and you can get the whole collection for $19.99 from Northwestern Publishing House. So if you're looking for some illustrations to use, maybe for your smart board Christlight stories or whatever it is that you're looking for, you might want to check these out.
Very nice. And he's got something else for us.
Yep. He also shared a link to a website, and I'm gonna bail on how to pronounce this. It's CLKER.
Maybe. I'm going to say Clicker.
Clicker.com.
That would be my guess.
No I in there, but CLKER.com, which is a royalty-free public domain clip art library. And you can upload images here, and if they're larger than 1024 by 768, they'll automatically be turned into a vector graphic. So you can bring up pictures here on your account, and it will vectorize them, turn them into a clip art kind of look. Mm-hmm. And so, but you can also search and make use of any of the royalty-free graphics that are part of the site. So a little bit of advertising to distract you, but if you can get past that, I think it's a pretty useful site that Jason's found.
Yeah, one of the advantages of turning something into vector art is the ability to scale it. Plus, it's kind of a cool look sometimes when you take a bitmapped image and turn it into vector clip art. Gives you a little bit different flavor for maybe the same image. So worth a shot for sure.
And lastly, we heard from our teacher friend Gail Potratz, who's our semi-regular technology correspondent, classroom technology correspondent.
Get it right, please.
Yeah. I can't mess with those titles. And she shared a link to an article by Richard Byrne, who writes the Free Technology for Teachers blog that we've referenced many times here. And he has put together a list of 7 videos all educators should watch. Mm. And just kind of saying, you know, summertime's a great time for professional development, and these will definitely give you food for thought. They're more mostly along the lines of education change and how technology is affecting education, and really some good food for thought there, and nice to have it all pulled together in one blog post. So maybe you're looking for these for presentation purposes even. It's a good reference point to tag this article and have use of all those great videos.
I haven't looked at these, although I've seen a couple of these out of context here, but it's a nice collection, and actually I'm looking forward to looking at this later today. And they're not all that long. Most of the videos are YouTube videos, so they're all under 10 minutes. Most of them are under 5 minutes, so definitely worth a look.
So that wraps up our community feedback for this week, Martin.
Yep, and we're on the road. Next week we are moving from Birmingham, Alabama, where we are today, to something a little bit closer to home, at least for me, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Faith and Fond du Lac, we're going to be visiting with teacher Ryan Rosenthal. Many of our listeners would recognize that name. And he's going to talk about voice threads and other Web 2.0-ish technology that he's using in the classroom. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, really enjoy that conversation with Ryan. I think our listeners will appreciate hearing all his great ideas.
Yep, absolutely. And let's close the show with the music of In His Service, their song, O God, Forsake Me Not, from the album In His Time. Check back in with us next week, everybody, as we go to Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful and blessed day.